Welcome to the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast. It's Monday and time for some tasty football leftovers. Yes, let's cook up some football leftover gumbo from this past weekend. And first, the NFL's opening weekend of play. Time for Brownie the Elf to get back on the shelf. The Cleveland Browns hosted the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday afternoon in the Fox Sports debut of the $37.5 million per year football analyst by the name of Tom Brady. Prior to the kickoff, the Dallas Cowboys revealed that they had just made their quarterback, Dak Prescott, this week's highest paid NFL player with a new deal worth $60 million per season. Until next week when somebody else will get a dollar more. Now, Tom Brady still makes more money than the majority of NFL players right now and does not have to wake up on Monday mornings nursing any more injured bones or muscles. It's a great life, isn't it? Dallas's defense dominated the action on Sunday as the Cowboys cruised to a 33-17 win during an afternoon snoozer of a game. Did you notice Brownie the Elf adorning midfield on the turf in Cleveland? The legendary Cleveland Browns good luck charm needs to be sacked after failing to deliver any kind of mojo for the home team yesterday. The famous dog pound in Cleveland should be allowed to go out on the field and dig a big hole in the end zone and bury Brownie prior to the next Browns home game. What do you think?
I'm happy.
Next, are the Saints really that good? Or is Carolina really just that bad? Yes and yes. As much as I love my Saints, I think Carolina might be heading for another top pick in next year's NFL draft. The Saints' 47-10 win over the hapless Panthers was the largest season-opening win in New Orleans Saints' 57-year pro football history. A year ago, Carolina used their number one overall pick and selected a Drew Brees-sized quarterback in Bryce Young from Alabama. Now, with so much invested in this young man, it might be wise for them to get him an Alabama-sized offensive line, a couple of Alabama-sized running backs perhaps, and maybe some speedy Alabama wide receivers to go with it. But Carolina has none of those right now. The Saints scored on their first 9 possessions of the game. It was glorious for Saints fans. Quarterback Derek Carr had a career day, connecting on 19 of 23 pass attempts and 3 touchdowns. Running back Alvin Kamara, welcome back, rolled up another 100-plus yards in total offense, too. Reliable wide receiver Chris Olave wasn't even needed Sunday as he pulled in just 2 receptions for a measly 11 yards. Next Sunday, though, New Orleans travels to Dallas. For a 12 noon Central Time kickoff on Fox, featuring the NFL's top offense after week 1, the Saints, going up against the Dallas Cowboys' very stingy defense. That should be a really good one. Number 3 this week in the NFL. The new kickoff rule is officially a dud. While trying to reduce the number of collision injuries, which is a commendable idea, the No Fun League, or the NFL, showcased their new kickoff rule this weekend. If you want to read about the NFL's explanation of this rule, go to my website at SwampSwamiSports.com and check it out. Most fans, though, are ready to ditch this new rule after week number 1 of play. But there is one player, DJ Dallas of the Arizona Cardinals, loves the new rule. The speediest DJ in the NFL scored with stylus on a 96-yard kickoff return as he burst right up the middle in the Cardinals' 34-28 loss at Buffalo. It was the first regular season kickoff return for a touchdown under the NFL's brand new kickoff procedures. For most of the first week of NFL action, though, the new kickoff rule, which lines players up just 5 yards across from each other until the ball is caught by the receiver, brought very little excitement to the football games this weekend. Next up, Joe Mixon gets revenge. Whose brilliant idea was it to let Cincinnati running back Joe Mixon leave town? After the Bengals accepted a lowly 7th-round pick from Houston, the Texans then signed the veteran running back to a 3-year, $27 million contract. In week number 1 in Houston, Mixon ran 30 times for 159 yards and 1 touchdown during Houston's season-opening road win against Indianapolis. Meanwhile, Cincinnati's top runner on Sunday was Zach Moss, who gained just 44 yards in the Bengals' pitiful 16-10 home loss against a not-so-very-good New England Patriots team. Now let's make some observations from the weekend's college football games. There are two orange SEC teams that are looking really good right now. The number 3 Texas Longhorns dominated the first half at Michigan to end the number 10 Wolverines' 2-year home winning streak in a 31-12 beatdown in Ann Arbor. The Texas offense was totally efficient, and the defense appears to be just as tough. And speaking of defenses, the number 14 Tennessee Volunteers held number 24 North Carolina State to less than 200 yards of total offense while administering a 52-10 shellacking in Charlotte Saturday night. Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers and Rocky Top's redshirt freshman quarterback, I'll call him Nico, I'm a believer, have both been on fire during the opening 2 weeks of this college football season. Item, Notre Dame is not a top 25 team, and neither is LSU. In the biggest surprise of 2024's college football season already, Northern Illinois took an early lead and then kicked a game-winning field goal at number 5 Notre Dame to win that game 16-14. The victory was the first ever by a Mid-American Conference school over a top 5 program in the history of the league.
Yes!
Notre Dame was now 1-1, and they were flat and taken down by a much hungrier bunch of Huskies. For the Irish, this loss should come back to bite them at the end of the season if they wanted consideration for the 12-team football playoffs at year's end. But we all know how that goes if they bring the TV ratings, right? LSU now is 1-1 after allowing 46-point underdog Nicholls State to stay close 23-21 early in the third quarter in Tiger Stadium before they put on the Jets and pulled away late to win 44-21. LSU's running game, I say that with a question mark, finished this game with just 64 yards on 19 carries. They're just not getting it done on the ground. The LSU Tigers now travel to 2-0 South Carolina to play an 11 a.m. Saturday game on ABC. The Gamecocks completely shut down Kentucky 31-6 in Lexington. These unbeaten Gamecocks will also host ESPN's College Game Day show this coming Saturday morning from 8 to 11 a.m. to help fire up the home team fans even more. LSU's passing game looks to be just fine, but it's the lack of a productive running game in these first 2 weeks of the season that is a big red flag for the Tigers. Regardless of what the polls are telling you, LSU is not yet a top 25 team based on their play on the field during the first 2 weeks of the season. But speaking of Kentucky, just how bad are the Wildcats? Coach Mark Stoops' Kentucky football team ran the ball, are you ready, 18 consecutive times during the first half of a 31-6 home embarrassing loss against a middle-of-the-road South Carolina team last Saturday. Starting quarterback Brock Vandegrift completed only 3 of his 10 passes for a paltry 30 yards and 1 interception. His backup came in the game. Well, he went 3-for-7 for just 14 yards and another interception. The Wildcats ran the ball an amazing 46 times versus just 17 pass attempts in a game that they fell behind 7-0 during the middle of the first quarter. What's up with that, coach? Said Mark Stoops, quote, "We've been beaten pretty badly by some really good football teams over the years, but I felt like our team always fought back. Today, it didn't look like we were a very well-coached team, and it didn't look like a team that really wanted to respond." Hey, no kidding. Don't look now, coach, but number 1 Georgia Bulldogs are currently a 22-point favorite on the road coming to Lexington to play you next Saturday night at 6:30 p.m. on ESPN. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Next, Nebraska and Colorado appear to be heading in different paths. The 2-0 Nebraska Cornhuskers, yes, it feels odd to say it, 2-0 Nebraska Cornhuskers, had no trouble taking care of Coach Deion Sanders' Colorado Buffaloes Wild West show during a 28-10 win Saturday night in Lincoln. The 1-1 Buffaloes have now allowed 26 and 28 points in consecutive weeks. For Nebraska, the team had 0 turnovers for the second week in a row. With an improving offense and defense, Nebraska is finally rising under their coach, Matt Rhule. Colorado, meanwhile, the combination of quarterback Shedeur Sanders and wide receiver Travis Hunt is really a dynamic duo. Yeah, kind of like those two guys. However, the Buffs' running game gained just 16 yards on 22 carries. That's less than a yard per carry. A team which relies entirely on its passing game is going to see 8 and even 9 defenders on defense every week. CU travels to their in-state rival, Colorado State, who's 1-1, this coming Saturday night in a nationally televised game at 6:30 p.m. on CBS. It's a rematch of last year's very chippy double overtime thriller won by Colorado. And let's salute Centenary College for playing their first college football game in more than 60 years. Last Saturday night in Shreveport, Louisiana, the Centenary College gentlemen played their first college football game since the 1960s. A sellout crowd of 1,500 fans, okay, the stadium seating was only recently constructed on one side of the field, but it was full, and they pulled hard for the home team, but the visitors from Hendricks College in Arkansas prevailed by 43-20 final score. The Centenary head football coach was disappointed in the outcome, but pleased in all the other aspects of this historic game for the private school, which has just 700 students. Said Coach Byron Dawson, "So many people have worked for years to make this day happen. People invested their time and hard-earned money, and I'm happy and grateful that we had college football in this city tonight. We're going to keep pushing forward." We sure hope so. Nice job. And the NCAA Division III gentlemen will now hit the road for this coming Saturday night, 6 p.m. contest against Texas Lutheran University's Bulldogs in Seguin, Texas, which is located just east of San Antonio. And one more bonus mention this week, congratulations to the 2-0 UL Monroe Warhawks after their convincing 32-6 win at home against the 1-1 UAB Blazers. The Hawks now have the week off before they'll travel for a payday game, a big payday, on Saturday, September 21st at 7 p.m. in Austin, Texas, against last week's number 3 Texas Longhorns. It was a fun week of football. Hope you enjoyed your weekend too. I'm Swamp Swami.